Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he'd put on a dress and play a girl bunny?
No.
Neither did I. I was just asking.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Did we lock you in a dumpster one time?
I got out.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
That's somebody's daughter up there.
I was just going to say that.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Dynamite drop in money. And broadcast school has really paid off.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Thanks for being with us on a Wednesday. Hope your days are going great. Beautiful outside. We've got a lot to get to here in the last hour of the show. Saturday story coming up 15 minutes from now. I'm going to talk about this playoff expansion stuff, too.
Oh, so do I.
I'm just giddy like a schoolgirl over it. And we'll get back into the Blazers report about who are the names that they're going to go after, potentially, as their next head coach. If you missed that report earlier, I'll just shout it out again. Shams had it. They're basically saying if Terry Stotts doesn't pull a rabbit out of his hat and have a NBA Finals run, he's gone. So he's gone. Jason Kidd, Nate McMillan, Dave Yeager, Chauncey Billups, and Brent Berry are the names that were listed by Shams.
We'll get into it. I'm all in 100%. I'm going in. I think they have a name not listed because of one part of that story. I think it's happening. I think Neil has an ace up his sleeve. That savvy son of a bitch. I can't wait.
When we mentioned that earlier, the listeners responded with, has Neil ever had an ace up his sleeve?
Yeah, he got Dame to sign the Supermax.
He did.
I mean, that's a pretty big ace.
Are we going to give him the credit for having a loyal super? Dame,
you can't bash the guy for the credit for that. You can't bash a guy for mediocre trades and signings and not give him credit for keeping the superstar.
Hold it. We'll get to that coming up later. We have something more exciting to talk about in the meantime, and it's with our friend Heather Dinich at CFB Heather on Twitter. Covers the college football playoff for ESPN. Heather, thank you so much for the time today. Not many things in sports get me more excited than talking about potential college football playoff expansion. This was a bombshell like 2 weeks ago. Like, hey, by the way, guys, we're looking at expanding. Where are we at? What are you hearing? What's going on with the idea of maybe changing the format for the college football playoff?
So what was interesting about what happened recently was that CFP executive director Bill Hancock was willing to put out there publicly numbers of teams that they're talking about, right? I mean, people who have, like, I live and breathe this, right? So they've been talking about this for a couple of years. It was San Jose. We were at the national championship out there. And I remember Mississippi State President Mark Keenum came out and kind of squashed it a little bit. But really at that time was when they started discussing it probably more seriously than they had before. And then they put together this working group of four commissioners, three commissioners and Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame. And then finally for them to say out loud in a press release, albeit buried on the second page, that they are considering models of, you know, anywhere from 6 to 16 teams. That was really news because it was the first time that they had publicly conceded, we are looking at this. And really saying it out loud, that specifically. There's still a long way to go, guys. So It's not going to happen this year. It's not going to happen next year. Hancock made that very clear. And remember, they haven't been able to meet in person because of the coronavirus pandemic. And Jack Swarbrick told me in January, this is not a Zoom discussion, right? So they really just scratched the surface of what's going to be a very detailed and thorough discussion. And that being said, everyone also has to remember that at the end of the day, there are 11 university presidents and chancellors who oversee the entire college football playoff. And if it's going to change, those people are ultimately the ones who have to approve to change it.
Well, Heather, you know, so much of this is speculation. It is a bit biased in what we want, but I do have to ask you this question. Those numbers we threw out of the expansion, 6, 8, 12, 16, whatever it is, couldn't you make a pretty good argument to Hancock and company that what's the point of going to 6 when you know this topic is coming up 2 years after it because it's the same teams? I think I saw a stat that said of the 28 teams that have been able to make the playoffs since they started it, Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma,
Ohio State,
and Notre Dame have like 22 of the 28 spots. There is no parity in college football. This is a big move for expansion. Shouldn't they just go 12, 16, shouldn't you just go to a big number so you don't have to hear about this for the next two decades?
That's a fair question. And that's one of the things that people have to realize when considering all of these different formats is, a particular format might not necessarily solve the issue of equity or fairness that people are looking for. For example, like in the press release, it said 63 variations, right? So what does that mean? Where did that number come from? Well, they're talking about if you have 6 teams, are you absolutely talking about 5 Power 5 champions? And what? Is it a guarantee for just a bye so Notre Dame can get in there? Or is it a guarantee for a group of 5 conference champion? You know, if it's 8 teams, what does that mean? Does it mean 5 conference champions and then an automatic bid for somebody and then 2 group of 5? How does that work, right? What exactly is the formula for who's getting in? Because you can have 8 teams and they might still say it's the 8 best teams. What does that mean?
Right.
We're still at that. Who are the best teams in the country? Does that solve the Cincinnati Coastal Carolina debate? You know, so I think when you have to realize before you answer those questions of what it'll solve, you have to understand who's actually going to get an opportunity here. And of course, those group of 5 commissioners are going to be very vocal in those meetings. But the unspoken truth is that it's the Power 5 commissioners who are going to control this discussion. Mm-hmm. And in particular, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. And I talked with him Monday. Mm-hmm. And I said, where do you stand? He's a member of the working group. And he said, well, I've been very public. 4 worked. It can work. And it can continue to work. So I don't know, guys. It depends on who you're talking to and what, at the end of the day, the access actually looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't blame Greg Sankey for loving the format because his teams are winning championships every year. Yeah. Makes sense, right? Heather Tinich is our guest, CFB Heather on Twitter. Covers a playoff for ESPN, one of our favorites to have on. So when this stuff gets brought up, I think there's the concerns that people bring up that I hear from time to time are, you know, the lengthening of the season and the health level, right? The start date, when do you start the season and how do you plan that out with not wanting to go against the NFL playoffs, the lessening of the regular season, what does it do for other bowl games? Like, there's all these fears that are thrown out. Which ones are most realistic for you that you think the group is going to have the hardest time working through?
Ooh, that's a really great question. I guess my answer just off the cuff would be twofold. The first would be preserving the history and tradition of the bowl system, the Rose Bowl in particular, right? How do you keep them happy moving forward and doing this? And the second is the length of the season, because I will tell you right now, I have spoken to university presidents on the record who have said, we don't want this to become a 2-semester sport. That's a big concern from the academic side. So if you're going to appease the presidents, you've got to work out the schedule so that it's not cutting into, and you're working with a bunch of different universities that do it differently, right? Okay. With the semesters and all that. So how do you make everybody happy as far as the university presidents go? So I think if I had to guess, now there's a lot of things, and you mentioned a lot of them, those would probably be two at the top of the list.
Heather, do you think that they view the playoff, the talk of the expansion, do you think they view it as a somewhat broken, maybe not the right word, but a broken model? Or do you think this is just about fan reaction, fans like in the Pac-12 who get mad that their teams don't get a shot to at least compete in a playoff?
You know, I don't necessarily think that. Well, first of all, I don't think anybody I've spoken to at the commissioner level or beyond thinks it's broken. I think that they realize that this ends at the end of the 2025 season, this contract. We're going into the eighth year of 12-year deal, and you can't roll out of bed on the 2025 new year, right, and say, okay, now what do we do? So they have to be forward thinking. These are all guys in suits who are smart and business oriented, and they know that they have to have a plan. This also would rejuvenate the discussion, right? I mean, mm-hmm. We saw how excited people got on Twitter about it just to debate it and talk about the different possibilities. It just injected some life into something that a lot of people think has gotten a little bit stale. Now, of course, there's other people who say, well, if you don't like it, beat them. Where are you, Texas A&M? Where are you, Georgia? You know, right. Come on, Pac-12. Like, there's something to be said for how cyclical college football is. And people forget that Washington was in this thing. LSU just won the whole thing a couple years ago, right? So, you know, I think it depends on who you talk to. But I think more than anything, it's a concession that, look, this thing is going to end. And you know how fast seasons go, you have to be prepared for what's next.
Yeah. Now you cover this for a living, and you know as much about it as anybody that we talk to. I want to ask your opinion, though. If I put Heather Dinich in charge, what model would she come up with?
Ooh.
Well, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, and I've tried to stay away from giving my opinion on that only because I live and breathe the news so much.
Right.
You know, and I just don't know that it's necessarily – I don't know. I try to kind of stay in my lane because I report on it so much. I think if I had to answer that question one way, it's just has it been stale? And I think you can certainly argue that expansion would benefit the sport. But I would also say, in talking to some people in the Pac-12, that there's also a belief that if you're in the Pac-12, you don't necessarily need it to expand to get in this thing. You got to play better football.
Yeah.
Do you think if they were to go to a bigger expansion, just for hypothetical sake, if they were to go to what's been thrown out there, 12 teams, and say, all right, you're not complaining now for a long time. We don't want to hear this anymore. Everybody has a chance. If you go that broad, do you think that they then dive into the somewhat universal scheduling? Everybody plays the same conference games, non-conference games, and we don't have to hear about how these conferences play 8, the Pac-12 plays 9. They play a cupcake at the end of the season. The Pac-12 feels like they have to schedule tough games at the beginning of the season. Do you think they would go that direction as well as expanding?
That's a great question. That's where it gets tricky, too, with the scheduling, because in order to make those presidents happy and not go longer, do you eliminate some things, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've talked to David Shaw so many times, like annually, about how a lot of coaches would like to see more uniform scheduling for that reason. But I also talked to Greg Sankey about scheduling and said, did playing 10 league games last year lead you guys down the path of any more serious conversations about changing the way you do your schedule? And there's no discussions about that.
Right.
No was the answer to that question. Conferences they love what they do, and they love having their autonomy. And I can tell you one thing that's not going to go away is conference championship games. You know, there's no – I haven't spoken to any commissioner who has a desire to say, okay, we're going to get rid of that in favor of a quarterfinal, whatever you want to call it. So I don't know. I know there are a lot of coaches who would love to see that. I just don't know that there are enough commissioners who would want to give up that freedom of how they do their schedules.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Great stuff. So many moving pieces. But as you mentioned, Heather, the excitement on Twitter, you could sense it when this stuff was announced.
Heather, we're against it, but I don't know if maybe you just answered this at the beginning. Sorry. Is there a timeline of when we'll know about this?
No, Bill Hancock said no timeline other than not this year, not next year. You know, Mountain West Commissioner Craig Thompson told me he thinks it could happen before the end of the contract. But I didn't say this, and I'm glad you asked, because it's important to know that if it does happen before the 12-year contract ends, everyone has to agree to it. Everyone
right.
involved. The
yeah.
Rose Bowl, ESPN, yeah. everybody in the playoff. And we're talking unanimous agreement because it's a contract, right? I'm not saying that that can't happen, but people have to understand everyone has to say, okay, let's do it to get it done.
I'm sorry, I meant when they get together and talk about it.
Oh, so I think that they are supposed to meet in person, I believe, at some point this summer.
Okay.
And if they have a model they agree on, they would present it. And then if the commissioners agree on the model, they would then present it to the president for approval.
Gotcha. Well, it's exciting to talk about, and there's no doubt about that. Heather Dinnett, she's one of our favorites, at CFB Heather on Twitter. Go give her a follow. She covers the playoff for ESPN. Heather, thanks so much for the time, as always. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
There you go. Heather Dinnett of ESPN talking about the thoughts on expansion. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, as she alluded to, not this year, likely not next year, but I think you can get it done before the end of the next contract. And I think you're going to start to get more concrete things coming out as the summer goes on. They're going to meet in person, and there's even the potential of a presentation taking place next year, kind of in the winter and fall, to all of the commissioners of the conferences, of saying, here's what we're thinking, here's what we've come up with. And as she mentioned, they've been working on this for 2 years. This was just the first time they leaked it publicly. They've been talking about this openly behind the scenes for 2 years now. So a lot of groundwork has been done. I want to get into this coming up at the bottom of the hour. Ross Dellinger wrote a piece for SI that was really good as well. Just about what it would look like, thoughts on how difficult it is to make everybody happy. So we'll get to that coming up bottom of the hour. But coming up next, it is time for your favorite segment, Steiner Story on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls.
So
that's 7,107.32
boobs. Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, do math.
The Fan.
All right, we'll get back into some playoff stuff coming up bottom of the hour. Also, the Blazer potential coaching candidates have folks all riled up today. That is still to come. And what's on tap a little bit later on. But it's time for Stat or Story. What do we got?
Yeah, we got preempted by all the draft stuff last week. And last week, though, the initial results of the 2020 census came out.
Oh, okay. I saw that. So, very controversial because people are adding and losing house seats.
Yes.
We added a seat. We did it.
So here we
now.
Go. Your first number is six.
Six.
Is it the most number of three-point field goals made in a single game by Tim Hardaway Sr. after his son Tim Jr. hit a career-high 10 for the Mavericks Tuesday night?
Different game back then. Good shooter.
He got skills.
To pay the bills.
Don't you remember his commercial? I got skills. I can't remember what commercial that was in, but.
threw me down a memory lane right there.
Timmy H. I remember seeing him at a game. He was an assistant. You ever look at some of these older players like him? Ewing is this way too.
Oh, yeah.
You look at them, their legs.
Oh, just broken down.
Oh, they look awful.
Oh, Run TMC was so much fun to watch back in the day.
See, and this is the unfortunate thing. Admittedly, I missed that. My Tim Hardaway window was the Miami Heat.
Tim and Alonzo.
Yeah. If that Run TMC team played the way the game is being played today.
I think they would have got killed for it back then. Why aren't you dumping it down to a big man?
Quit shooting the ball.
No, I'm saying if that group was playing the way the game is being played today, 140 a night, that would have been wild. Or is it the states that picked up additional votes in the Electoral College following the initial results of the 2020 census?
We're still doing the Electoral College, huh?
Electoral College.
The Electoral College.
Yes, we're still doing that.
Just going by, you know, all the votes.
Well, now, I know it was
a... take a constitutional amendment to change that.
We've never done that before.
Not for a while.
You know, just let the people speak. Look, I know it was a different game. I'm inclined to say, though, that he had one where he knocked down more than
like
six.
Like seven.
Like, he had one night where he made seven threes. Like, that had to have, he had to have stumbled his way in. And this sounds about right for the number of states it added.
Or is it a slap in the face reality of that's what the NBA was and six was amazing. You couldn't beat six.
Or four was his career high. I'm gonna go story.
Now, how confident are you that you read this?
Oh, I'm not confident.
Oh, damn it.
Not confident at all.
Damn it.
This is, I'm closing my eyes and I'm hoping, I'm spraying right now.
Admittedly, I don't know how picking up seats in Electoral College votes work, so I'm just...
I mean, population swings.
Sure, okay. And, yeah, all makes sense. I'm just going to go opposite. I'll stay stat.
Okay.
It's a story.
Good. What does he have, eight?
Seven. He did it twice.
Only by one. Still.
Once as a Warrior, January 5th, 95 against the Bucks. Once as a member of the Heat, February 8th, 99 against the Hornets.
Who was better, Tim Hardaway the Warrior or Tim Hardaway the Heat?
I was partial to Run TMC. So
Not team-wise, player.
He probably had more impact with the Heat because he didn't have to share the ball so much.
I mean, his numbers, I mean, he had a year in Golden State where he averaged 23.5 and 10 assists, 22 and 10.5. Miami, the points per game went down a little bit as he got to Miami, and he had Alonzo. The assist numbers actually went down a little bit too, which is kind of surprising.
Because he had Dan and he had Alonzo, PJ
Brown.
Played
a little slower.
They did.
True.
And they were famously, like, really before that, Dwayne Wade. Chip, they were famously known for choking.
They were, yeah.
They just couldn't beat the Knicks.
And fighting the Knicks. And,
All right, six states picked up Electoral College votes. Texas picked up two.
Yeah, they had a lot of
people
moving to Texas.
Colorado, Montana, Florida, North Carolina, and Oregon all picked up one. So there will be a new U.S. congressional district in Oregon for the next election.
People are moving to Montana, huh?
Yeah. That's
you always hear about that. People, I see this on our Twitter feed, the show page, because we follow you back. I'll see people firing off political takes all day, and I'll always see these like, this is why Idaho is amazing. And I'm like, move to Idaho.
Yeah.
You want to move to Idaho because they're amazing for you politically.
Right
then
ahead.
Move to Idaho.
Yeah, people moving to Montana, huh? How about that?
Your next number is 98.
Okay, 98.
Is it the number of three-point shots made by Steph Curry in the month of April to set the NBA record?
I said 98.
98. Yeah. Or is it the number of additional residents the state of New York needed, according to the 2020 census, to retain its existing allotment of representatives in the U.S. Congress?
Dive into the census.
So New York was one of the states that lost a representative because it's an even... They capped it.
Yes. And that's a whole nother controversial thing is should it be capped? You should add to it. That's a whole nother conversation
for another day
on a different station.
I should know this. I've been watching Steph Curry all year. I talked about Steph Curry a week ago.
98 made threes.
Now,
how many games are we playing in a given month? Like 16? Is that too many?
Oh, I don't know. This year it's different because of the schedule.
I guess that's true. Yeah, I'm going too extreme there.
I don't know how to gauge this,
Maybe
10 I don't know anything about
month?
The damn census. That's, I'm going to say stat.
That sounds too high for me then, now that I'm doing my game calculation.
You're right.
I'm going to go story.
I think your logic's great. I'm going story.
That's a stat.
The logic made sense, though. That's all that matters.
The record
you
before
show your
it,
work and you're proud of how you got there, I and you stand by your answer.
Stat first, too. I'm an idiot.
I think the record was 85.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, I think they played an unusually high number of games due to the schedule crunch, and okay. He made 98 in the month of April.
Who else is shooting the ball on that team?
It's insane, man. Yeah, they lost last night. I think he scored 37. He took, like, 33 shots. Mm.
But this is from NPR that had a quote from whoever presented information in the press conference from the census.
We trust NPR as a news source?
Yes. If New York had 89 more people,
yeah,
they
89.
Would have received one more seat. And this from the state of New York is the second largest populated state. No, it's third after Florida. 20,201,249 people.
And they're going
to
lose.
They needed 89 more to have another, to not lose.
Now, I took a lot of poli-sci classes in college. I consider myself semi-informed on these things. How do they decide? This is something I don't know. How do you decide which one you cut?
I don't know, but I saw a story about how there's certain representatives that kind of have to go against each other.
Oh,
because
you totally do. Because somebody's losing their job. Yeah. You're losing a congressional. There's a congressman that's just going to be out, not voted out, just no longer have a district.
Boy, you're bashing your friend for the seat, too.
Is it like a battle royale? Is it like Anchorman scene? We'll fight in the park. Loser loses their seat.
Boy, who would win if we ran against each other?
In a congressional race?
District.
That'd be kind of fun. We should try that someday.
I don't trust this
What's
SOB.
Your policy? Screw that guy. I don't know what he's talking
about. He doesn't do any research. Here's the clip.
This is unfair. It's taken out of context.
But Sprague, you're more likely to have the viral soundbite that buries a campaign.
This is very true.
Well, I think actually people are all in on the viral soundbite helping the campaign at this point.
No,
I don't think it
Howard
hurts
Dean.
People. Yeah.
That doesn't kill candidacies anymore.
Yeah, I wonder too, if you jumped into it, Swag, we had a 3-man race for one congressional seat. People will probably vote for you because you're a little older.
Yeah, established.
You're not as
financial
crazy.
Financial background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be like, I'm the fiscal conservative who's progressive in policy.
Right.
Like, oh, way to play both sides of the fence there.
Pick a side of the fence, man.
Your final number is 2.
2.
2. Is it the number of years it has been since the last time a pitcher hit home runs in consecutive appearances before Huascar Ynoa did it against the Nationals Tuesday night?
Hitting bombs, baby.
Or is it the number of states that the District of Columbia would be more populated than if it were to become the 51st state?
Ooh, let's play that fun game.
Which
states
be.
Would they be? I think Wyoming's got to be in that category.
Yeah.
There has to be more people in D.C. than Wyoming.
There is more people. What about a Dakota?
They could have more than a Dakota. I could see that. Maybe both Dakotas.
I don't know if there's any others, though. Would you say Montana?
Do a lot of folks live in Alaska? What's the population of Alaska?
I bet Anchorage is pretty heavily populated.
There's a lot of people in Anchorage. Outside of that, I mean, you go up to the northern sphere of
it's polar bears and a couple people in 10 houses.
Unless we're counting polar bears. I'm going to go stat.
Well, I already forgot the stat, so I'm going to say story.
It's a story.
Wow, how about that?
It's been 3 years since a pitcher hit home runs in consecutive appearances. Steven Matz did it for the Mets in 2018.
Really? Would have never guessed him.
So the right just hates the D.C. statehood because of the seats, right? The people?
It would add 2 Senate seats.
Which would probably be left-leaning.
Which would change the balance of power, for sure.
Right.
So, yes, D.C. would be more populated than Wyoming.
Okay.
Which is the least populated state at 576,851 people. And Vermont.
Vermont. Was the other one. Okay.
The damn Dakotas.
43,077 people.
You know what? Good for the Dakotas. We disregarded them in that segment.
South
and they have
Dakota,
more people than Washington, D.C.
South Dakota, nearly 900,000 residents. Okay. North Dakota, 779,000.
And how many people are in D.C.?
D.C. has 689,545. Alaska, 733,000 and change.
Close.
Delaware, 989,000.
Delaware.
So,
I'm
and,
in Delaware.
Those are your states that are less than a million in population.
I'm in Delaware. There you go. Statter story every Wednesday at 8:15. Good stuff. A little educational statter story this
week. Boy, you went real. census-heavy political stuff.
Hey, it's important. This is it's important. Every 10 years you get it, and people don't want to do it. This is why it's important to participate in the census. It's a big deal.
Gone to the morning. I try to stay away from the barnyard animal sounds, those sorts of things.
I participated in the census.
I was one of those people. You have to, man. This is big. You could add seats. It changes. We have an extra electoral college vote now in Oregon.
Federal funding gets dispersed.
There's a lot that's decided here, so it's important to do it every 10 years. All right, let's get back to the college football playoff expansion. Ross Dellinger wrote a piece on what's going on behind the scenes and kind of the process that it's going to take to get to the expansion that we all want. What is the model you want? And then we'll also talk about Terry Stotts' potential replacement in an article that came out from Shams earlier today. That is all still to come.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we don't have a lot of time here, so no farting around. Let's get right to it. We had Heather Dinich on earlier at 8. If you missed it, go check the interview. Really good stuff from her about the playoff, where they're going, what they're talking about, all that. Ross Dellinger, who we've had on the show before, he writes for Sports Illustrated, and he wrote a piece that was pretty good just about kind of everything that has gone on behind the scenes to get to this point. So this has been talked about now for 2 years. About potentially expanding the college football playoff. Talked about it a ton behind the scenes. This is the first time they publicly came out and threw an actual number behind it, saying we're looking at 6, 8, 12, or 16. And they are clear to point out many a times that, you know, we could still end up at 4.
Oh, my. Could you imagine anything more?
Imagine those blue balls.
Deflating?
All of this, and they come out like, eh, you know what? We can't get on the same page. Let's go back to 4. There's a lot of positive things. If you're a fan of and a proponent of expansion, there's a lot of positive things to find here. And that is that a lot of the conference commissioners outside of Greg Sankey are on board with this. A lot of the folks that are charged with, I think there's like 11 members that are in charge of, you know, talking about this. 8 are publicly in support of it. 3 are, you know, we'll see. I'm listening to the evidence. There's nobody that's staunchly against it. So there's a lot of things going in their favor. The biggest fears that you get are, you know, a couple of things. One, how do you fit extra games into a regular season? Or excuse me, just a season in general, right? Because you're already playing. Right now, the regular season conference title playoff leaves the champion at playing 15 games. So if you are to expand, let's say, to 16 teams, which is what I want, now you're playing a 17-game schedule because it would be 4 playoff games on top of 12 regular season games and a conference championship game.
Right.
So there's a big issue. There's a big issue on when you start the season because you don't want to go directly up against the NFL playoffs. There's an issue, as Heather pointed out, that you don't want to make this a 2-semester sport. So you don't want to play till the end of January. You want to be done relatively on the same timeline as you are now. And then you also have to figure out a way, how do you keep the bowl games happy? Because they have those contracts that Everybody is going to have to sign off on this. The conference commissioners, the TV provider, which is still going to be ESPN, the bowl contracts. Like, everybody has to give this the A-OK, and I think that highlights how difficult the road ahead is going to be. But still, it continues to be a positive in my mind that they're going in that direction.
I just don't buy that it's difficult. I think they make it difficult. I hear your point. I think it's great to have Jack Swarbrick a part of this, who is one of the instrumental voices, I think, within that committee. Despite that he's not a conference commissioner, he's a commissioner of the independent team in college football that is pseudo part of a conference in the ACC with Notre Dame. And I think Notre Dame wants to do anything that's in its best interest. They've been twice, but in years where they lose two games, they have a real argument to say, we have one of the tougher schedules every season in college football. Mm-hmm. Even if we lose two, we should have a chance, but you don't get one if you have two losses. Go to 12. Call it. Stop doing this dance around if we even move to four. If you meet and you come back and conclude that you're staying at four, you're going to lose more people. Not in the sense of they won't watch their teams anymore, but just in the, it's a joke and we're not taking it seriously. We're done. You can make an argument that people have already reached that point. It's the same three teams, and then you throw in an Oklahoma and Notre Dame, and it's largely been the same five teams.
Yeah.
That's not good for the sport. That's not good for interest. And when an entire conference, and you could even throw the Big 12 into this a little bit, when an entire conference is basically left in the cold because they play more conference games, I think they schedule harder non-conference matchups. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a bit of a problem. And I think if you go to eight could probably temper people for 5 to 8 years. And then you'd reach a point of, should we get a little bigger, a little broader, reward the teams that are at the top of college football, whereas you go to 12, you get four byes. Mm-hmm. I'm just all in on that. When Mandel put in that bracket, that NCAA tournament-style bracket, and it's a 7-10 matchup, I mean, there's nothing more exciting than filling that bad boy out.
Yep.
And you want to feel like your team has a chance, even if you know in the back of your mind maybe they don't. Sure, are you beating Alabama? I'd say 99% of the time, no, until Nick Saban walks away. But you just need him to have one bad game. That's all you need is a chance. And that's what it would give you, a chance.
Yeah, somebody texted in earlier and said, we already get blowouts in the playoffs. Why would it change now? The optimistic answer that I would have to that is that if you expanded the field for the playoff, you wouldn't have kids deciding their college commitment on, you know, if I want to play in the college football playoff in my career, I have to go to one of three schools. Because to your point, the five schools that people point out, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, they account for like 80% of the playoff appearances. It's crazy. They've made almost all of them. You got a random Oregon in there, a random Washington, a random Michigan State. LSU's been there once, but it's really the same teams every year. So if you want a chance to go compete for a national title and a guaranteed spot in the playoff, where are you going to go? You're going to go to one of those schools, and it just continues to push more power to the top. I think the optimistic dream that I would have is if you level the playing field in terms of the teams that can make it, you don't have to make that choice. You could say, I could go to a Pac-12 school, and I know if I win the conference, I'm in the playoff, and I'm going to have a chance, and I would hope over time. What happened right away? Over time, it would balance things out.
I just want to add, that's something we just heard from prospects, right? In that piece that had Yogi Roth quoted.
They want to play in the playoff.
They want to play in the playoff. It is a vital part of it. The Pac-12, Oregon's raking them in. Maybe they'll go to a playoff this year with Crystal Ball, but the Pac-12 is not a part of that conversation largely since they made it the one time.
Yep, so there you go. Good stuff. If you missed Heather Dinich earlier, highly recommend going and checking that podcast. We'll tweet it out after the show, at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. Let's get to what's on tap. There's a lot going on in the sports world tonight. An update on the Blazer poll question, on the replacements potentially for Terry Stotts, and we'll close up there next on The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right. There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
Hey, What's on Tap, brought to you on The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. I'm a couple of pelicans out on the golf course today.
Where are you golfing?
I'm golfing a good old Eastmoreland today, baby.
Eastmo. I tried to play it a couple weeks ago.
It's in good shape. already. I'm planting my garden today, too. It's a big day at the Johnson household.
Just don't have kids. Your life is so awesome.
Dude, I was outside working yesterday. I'm so sore today. I built this shows how unhandy I am. I felt cool. I wore my tool belt. It wasn't really necessary, but I just did it to feel extra manly. You ever do that? Just like, I just feel cool. Put a couple screws
no,
in here.
No, I
like,
don't own
around.
A tool belt.
You don't own a tool belt? Come on, man.
Dude, I'm at the point in my life where I've accepted that I suck at this, sure. And I'm willing to throw money at the problem.
Okay, that's fair. And I do. I am bad at things, too. But it just felt cool. I had like a saw. I was running a saw. You know, just like, I feel, put some goggles on. Don't want to get that sawdust in your eyes. I built a planter box yesterday. I was very proud of myself. I was outside working yesterday from like 9:30 until 6:30 at night.
Was it just like a rectangular planter box?
Yeah. Yeah. And but you had to cut it. You got to measure. You got to cut. You got to screw those things in. It takes a lot. I had to dig out the area because I'm putting it in the lawn. So I had to dig out the area. I'm putting it in the lawn. I had to dig out all that grass. I got to go to the dump today after the gym. It was a big day at the Johnson household yesterday.
I'm thinking about laying cement in my side patio yard. I don't really have a yard, so I have a side yard.
You lay some cement down there.
And I think I'm just done. Some weeds have popped up through the rocks. I'm just done with it. And so I'm thinking about laying cement. And I call my brother who's in construction. He goes, oh, dude, super easy. Your space is tiny. And I said, hey, I was just stop you right there. I ain't doing it. I'm not interested in doing it. I have no interest in screwing it up. I'm paying a company to come out. And he goes, man, that's going to cost you some money. And I'm like, yeah, I'm willing to lose that money because I don't want to do it.
I'm not doing it.
I hate doing it.
Well, if you need any handiwork around the house, give me a call. I got a tool belt. Throw a couple of screws in there. I'll come on over, and I'm all set, all right?
There's nothing less confident about something I'd feel than you walking in with a tool belt on, knowing who you are. All right, let's do this.
Here we go. You ready? Are you going to be the too scared to play with it guy? I'm not too scared to play with it anymore. I got a tool belt, man.
Took me 9 hours to build a planter box. Dude, well, that's great.
I got a tool belt, right? Well, hey, a lot of that time was digging out the ground. There's a lot of prep work that goes into that.
Sure.
You got to edge it out and dig it. It's a lot that goes in. You know, I'm not just screwing things in here, okay? All right, it's a lot of work. All right, here's what's on tap for today. There's a lot going on in the sports world. The Timbers play tonight. The second leg of their CONCACAF, what is it, the semifinals?
Quarterfinals.
And they play in Mexico City at one of the larger soccer stadiums in the globe.
Estadio Azteca.
So they're playing tonight. Now, the first one was a tie?
It was a one-all draw.
One-all draw. Okay, yeah, my apologies.
They need, now the tiebreaker before they go to penalty kicks is road goals.
So they need to.
So they'd have to have at least a 2-2 draw or
to win
outright.
Yes.
To win in regulation.
It was 1-1 on the road for
if
Stadio.
If it was 1-1.
That totally makes sense. And
they'll
it seems
go
like a
to
great
extra
way to advance
time
teams.
And penalty kicks, anything else. And
or you can just win the game
done.
Outright. You
yes,
can win in
they
regulation.
Can win the game outright.
So 7:15 on FS1 tonight. Boom goes to dynamite. Keep an eye on that. I do want to shout out quick. There could be a major brawl in the NHL tonight at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
Well, you keep teasing this as if it's going to happen.
Dude, it was
happen.
Like they released.
The Rangers are beyond upset.
They released a statement. So he got like go watch the Tom Wilson highlight if you haven't seen it. He grabs a guy's hair, Panera, and he slams his head without a helmet into the ice. He got a $5,000 fine.
That's it, huh?
Which is the max under the CBA that you can fine guys. And the Rangers released a statement basically saying the person, George Parros, I think, who's in charge of personnel or, you know, player discipline, that kind of stuff. He basically, they said he should be fired.
They said he is not fit to continue in his current position.
So they play again tonight. This just happened the other night. So they're playing again tonight at 4. So if you want to see a brawl in hockey, keep an eye on that at 4 o'clock. The Blazers, slightly after that, they're in Cleveland tonight. I hope they rest Dame. I doubt that they will. 4:30 against the Cavs. They're 11.5-point favorites.
He is probable. I will take the Blazers to lay that number because the Cavs just played an OT and they suck.
Yeah, I mean, if
Dame's playing, I mean, yeah, is it going to be somewhat close in the first? Probably. And we'll go, oh, well, you'll lose. No, I think they'll pull away.
Yeah. So there you go. Am I missing anything major? Is that what's on tap? Did I miss anything big?
No,
that's on your guys' radar.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
The Preds, Blues, and Jets all have a chance to clinch playoff spots tonight in
Nobody
the NHL.
Tries harder about hockey than that.
We asked a poll question today. Shams wrote a piece for The Athletic about Terry Stotts being on the hot seat.
May or not be on the station today at some point.
May,
I can't say what show.
Or
but,
may not be on the
cannot
station.
Cannot confirm no, nor deny.
I don't know. We're hearing things. People are saying things. I don't know. We're going with what we hear. Stotts could be on the way out. The names that they could be looking at to replace him, Jason Kidd, Nate McMillan, Dave Yeager, Chauncey Billups, or Brent Berry. We asked a poll question without Nate McMillan in it. With Kidd, Billups, Jaeger, Barry, care to guess who won in a runaway vote?
Billups was winning last I checked, so I'll just assume he won.
42% of the vote went to Chauncey Billups.
Cool.
The majority of the responses said none of the above. So we already don't like our new hypothetical coach, and we still don't like our current coach. We don't like any of these guys.
I had somebody just pee all over my Spoelstra hope, but I'm just going to say, you know what? I don't care if I'm wrong. You got to go get Eric Spoelstra.
Moving back to Portland, baby. Let's call him up. Hey, we got the voice of the Pilots. Let's get him on the show. Come on.
That would be some good synergy. We've had him on the show. He's a friend of the show.
He talked about the Grateful Dead. He's a great Oregonian. Yeah. Bring him back. Bring him home.
Let's go smoke some weed.
He's coming home. He's coming home. There you go. Good little show. Yogi Roth tomorrow at 7 a.m. We'll talk about all Pac-12 spring games, including Oregon State's on Saturday. If you missed any of the show, Let's Drop Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll tweet it out at Turton Sprague and at 1080thefan. Thanks for being a part of our Wednesday. Colin is next. AJ and Dusty, noon to 3. Primetime Isaac and Suk and the baseball show tonight, as always on Wednesdays. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.